Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Yesterday's terrible news, two Israelis killed at the Allenby Bridge crossing. That's when a Jordanian humanitarian aid truck driver opened fire. Israel shut the crossing and is weighing tougher screening and even a temporary halt to aid shipments coming via Jordan. The attacker was shot dead at the scene, but the incident does raise some very difficult questions. How does Israel secure critical border points and prevent the abuse of humanitarian channels? That is, of course, without cutting off life-saving aid to Gazans. Well, former Israeli intelligence official, Arab affairs advisor, writer and commentator Avi Melamed joins us this morning. Avi, thank you for doing so. It is greatly appreciated. For anybody who doesn't know what happened yesterday, what actually transpired?
Well, yesterday at the Allenby crossing, this is one of the crossing between Israel and Jordan. As you probably know, Israel and Jordan has a formal peace treaty since 1994. There mm-hmm. are a couple of passages along this border. This is, by the way, the longest border between the two. It's about 315 miles long border. As part of the regular routine of everyday crossing of commodities and other passages for pedestrians and so on, a Jordanian person opened fire, killing two Israeli officers that were in the passage as part of their mission as coordinators of services.
The fact that this was an aid truck obviously adds a very, very uncomfortable element to it. What is the screening or the security expectation on the Jordanian side? And is there cooperation between the two countries on this?
Yes, definitely there is cooperation between the two, and it's quite efficient. Unfortunately, it's not the first time we saw such an incident. This is kind of like an incident in this case, what we call the lone wolf, meaning a person, an individual that is kind of like deciding to conduct a terror attack. I will do differentiate that from other kind of terror plots that have been originated in Jordan and have been intercepted successfully by the Jordanian security services. Like, for example, a couple of months ago, the Jordanians exposed a major Hamas terror cell operating in Jordan that was guided by Iranian officers from Beirut, and including Hezbollah. So unfortunately, it's not the first time. There is a good cooperation between the two states. They do have a common interest in securing the border. However, as I mentioned before, there is no lack of challenges in that regard because, as I said, it's a very long border. And in Jordan, unfortunately, we know that there is a constant sentiments of anti-Israel feelings that has been increasingly, of course, following the war in Gaza. And those, together with the strong presence of Islamic circles in Jordan, are fueling an atmosphere or a ground that basically provides a fertile ground for either a terror cell organized, such as the one that was intercepted a couple of months ago, or the case of yesterday, what we call the lone wolf
terror attacks. So is there actually a way to reduce to eliminate lone wolf attacks, or is this something that sadly is just part and parcel of an area of conflict and the current war?
It's impossible to 100% eliminate the threat of a lone wolf. We have, unfortunately, across the globe every day, we have examples of lone wolf attacks, people that are, out of the blue are conducting terror attacks. However, Israeli security agency services were able to develop some kind of like a method, which involve also, of course, as you could imagine, a very sophisticated AI algorithm. And that actually, to a large extent, helps to try and to identify a potential lone wolf perpetrators particularly through some signals or signs or indicators that can be detected in activity in social media. We have learned in the past that sometimes lone wolves have this tendency to, through their social media presence and activity, you could see that there are some indicators or signs that basically kind of like, turn on like red lights, sort of speaking, regarding that specific person. So Israeli security services, for example, are more than once intercepting such a potential while by addressing the families of such a person, and warning the families that,
That they're going to,
they should be aware of that.
Right. One of the concerns, of the many concerns, is that Israel, as a reaction, is considering all sorts of options, one of which is to shut down, let's say, the humanitarian aid coming from Jordan. The problem with that is that these terrorists are not particularly concerned about Gazans or Palestinians. We know this. We know this from Hamas, that the greater the number of civilian deaths, the worse it is for Israel. So actually, Israel wants to keep the civilian deaths in Gaza as low as possible. Hamas doesn't care, and in fact maybe even does care, wants it higher, because it's doing damage to Israel internationally. By shutting down humanitarian aid, let's say, for a while from this area as a punishment or as a way to try and eliminate it, doesn't it feed, excuse that expression, into the very strategy and goals of the terrorists?
Well, firstly, you're very accurate with the observation that Hamas has an interest to deepen the dire situation and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza Strip. We know that Hamas is using that as a strategic weapon in the context of the international campaign and, public opinion. Look, I don't think Israel is going to shut down the humanitarian aid flow. At the best, we see something that is very temporarily, but which, of course, will be very shortly resumed. However, there is something interesting that we should mention in that regard. In Jordan, there is a large amount of tents that are supposed to be shipped to Gaza Strip. Today, one of the major challenges is the lack of available big tents because of the different crises across the globe.
Right.
But in Jordan, there is a large amount of tents that actually is supposed to be shipped to Gaza Strip. Obviously, such a terror attack could delay a little bit the shipment, but in the end of the day, obviously, we should anticipate the resume of the flow as much as possible. We should remind ourselves that, humanitarian aid is flowing to Gaza Strip from different passages, most of whom from Israel. There is also the Rafah crossing. So I think that that it wouldn't have an impact. The most significant thing in that regard, as you mentioned accurately before, was the fact that in the end of the day, Hamas has an interest to further deep the humanitarian crisis in Gaza Strip. And I think that it's unfortunate that some circles in Western public opinion are failing to address that and understand,
It's only because they're choosing not to. I'm no longer of the opinion that they simply don't understand. You can't spend that much time focused on this conflict and focused on Gaza and Israel and not understand that. If you don't understand that, then in my view, you've chosen not to understand it. But that's my own personal view on this. Can I just ask you, while I've got you on, just to give me a sense of something I don't understand, which is the role of Egypt. Obviously the focus is always Israel and the aid through Israel and Israel, but what is the position in terms of aid with regard to Egypt and Egypt opening borders to take in people from the region?
Look, Egypt, as of now at least, made it very clear they are not going to take in Palestinians from Gaza Strip as long as it's like up to their decision. We should remember that Egypt is actually defining the Hamas mother movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, as a terror organization. And Egypt has been and is hunting down Muslim Brotherhood people in Egypt. And there has been episodes of tension between Egypt and Hamas many times, as we all remember in the past. Egypt is now looking at the situation as a potentially leverage to further strengthen its position in the sense that if the center of negotiation will shift to Egypt, which may be the case, that will enable Israel and Egypt an increasing power position. But at the end of the day, we should be aware of the fact that the Egyptians, more than one, in a very clear language, made it very clear they are not willing, they don't want to take in Palestinians. But in the end of the day, Egypt will have to be very proactively involved in any kind of arrangements in what we call the day after in Gaza Strip. Egypt, up until October 7, to a large extent, was kind of like remoting itself from the situation in Gaza, even though Egypt has a lot to do with Gaza. Just as a reminder, Egypt ruled Gaza Strip for 20 years, from 1948 until 1967. And Gaza Strip, in many ways, is part and parcel of the end of the day of Egyptian society, economy, and so on and so on. So I think that the Egyptians are aware of the fact that as part of the day after day, we'll have to play much more central role in the whole story of Gaza, and they basically want to be rewarded for that, and I think that's the direction that guides their work.
Fascinating conversation. Avi Melamed, thank you for that. Avi is a former Israeli intelligence official, senior advisor on Arab affairs. He is an author, a commentator, and he was sharing his view as well as some of the information around yesterday's attack.